Well, normally this time of day, I would either play a Razorback highlight or I'd play an Auburn highlight, but I looked through the entire system and I couldn't find one of either. It has been beer time all season long for Razorback fans, and can't win drink, I guess. Rod Bramlett, the play-by-play voice of the Auburn Tigers, joining us in the zone on the Revolution Hotline. Rob, welcome back. How are you?
Doing great, guys. How are y'all doing?
Buddy, I got to be honest. Hasn't been fun. Hasn't been good. It's been a rough, rough fall, my man.
Oh, well, this too shall pass, I guess, maybe.
Like a kidney stone. This, you know, usually this time of year, it's we have the folks on from the different broadcast teams, and we talk about the matchups and the breakdown and all that. But normally, this year, it's just turned into a therapy session. I've tried to get them to make me feel better. I had Eli Gold, you know, we were on suicide watch that week, and he sort of made us feel a bit better. I mean, even Alabama, even Auburn over the years have had their down moments. So I guess it is part of the deal.
Well, you know, it is, and I think, you know, you can make the argument that this is about as big a game as you'll see, though, between two teams with only one win in terms of the rest of the season for both, because I think you look at the month of October for both Auburn and Arkansas, and that's the month in which you've got to turn it around, because it'll be, certainly for Auburn, it'll be tough to get it going in the right direction in November. This is the time for Auburn to you know, hopefully continue to make some improvements, and I'm sure Arkansas is feeling the same way.
Yeah, I was actually, happened on a story today Athlon Sports put out, and they talked to a number of different folks who, I don't know, cover the teams or at least cover college football, and asked them which team can turn it around in 2012, Arkansas or Auburn, starting with this week. And every single person said Auburn. Nobody's given Arkansas a chance. Again, you know, Arkansas's had a lot of lineup changes, but it hasn't been for any other reason for the most part than injury. So it seems like when it rains, it pours, and that's the way it goes. Meanwhile, over at Auburn, you know, Kyle Frazier certainly has had his share of issues this year, but they have been happy to stick with him or been willing to stick with him, I guess. And certainly when you have an offensive staff change, it makes it difficult. But talk about his play, if you would, and what their hopes are with him, or if they're even thinking about maybe, you know, tweaking anything there.
You know, it'll be interesting to see how it develops. Against LSU, we saw Jonathan Wallace, a freshman, true freshman out of nearby central of Phoenix City, come in kind of as the Wildcat quarterback. We've not seen that this year. But right now, barring a just complete total meltdown, Kyle Frazier is Auburn's quarterback. And the thing with Kyle is he's trying to do too much. And, you know, I think he wants so desperately to be perfect. I call it the Cam Newton hangover. I mean, it's just Auburn's had a tough time filling that huge void left by Cam Newton in that one season that he played here. And I think, you know, Kyle wants to be like Cam, but there is nobody like Cam. And, you know, I think if he continues to play and continues to get experience and hopefully Auburn's able to put him into situations where he can be successful, he's going to be a good SEC quarterback. He really is. He's going to be the type of quarterback in the vein of maybe a Jason Campbell that eventually can, you know, take this Auburn team, you know, back to a higher level. But right now, it's still just a learning curve for him that he's got to go through, particularly considering he's in a brand-new system that really he's not accustomed to running. And, you know, we've seen baby steps, and then we've seen steps backwards for Kyle. Hopefully the LSU game, he didn't throw it particularly great, but he didn't make a ton of mistakes. Hopefully the week off, and he can go back and look at some film from LSU and previous games and you know, maybe take a big step forward Saturday.
Yeah, for the record, I want to be like Cam Newton, too. I don't see any chance of that either.
Who doesn't? My gosh.
Kyle's got a much better chance than we do, for sure. The departure of Gus Malzahn, certainly big news over there, and great news for folks in Arkansas, at least those who want to root for Arkansas State. His impact has been, you know, pretty remarkable, not necessarily in the number of wins. Of course, they're going to be on TV tonight, and they could take a, you know, a good step forward this evening. But talk about his departure and I guess what, you know, maybe you feel like he brought that you guys don't have right now. And again, like I said, you have to take into account any transition is tough.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, obviously Coach Malzahn is one of the greatest offensive minds out there right now. And he had that knack that all great offensive coaches have. And I think Petrino was one of them as well, of being a great in-game play caller and able to think two or three steps ahead. And everybody around here, don't get me wrong, everybody around here knew that he was going to go get a head job sooner than later. I think some were a little surprised that it was Arkansas State, thought maybe he'd get a chance at something bigger. But I mean, he's, you know, I'm not going to say he left a big void for this team, because I get the impression that Gene Chizik, once Gus Malzahn left, was going to take the offense in a different direction. And Gene Chizik sits there and he looks at LSU and Alabama and looks at the way they run offensively, and that's just very physical, eye formation, just wear you out in the fourth quarter. And I think he wants to get back to that kind of offensive philosophy here. And right now he probably doesn't have the number of players to really implement that at a high level. So you've seen kind of a hybrid type offensive game plan this year out of Scott Leffler, first-year coordinator, trying to make use of the players that he has. But it's still a new system, and it's new terminology, and that is always tough, particularly when you're like Auburn, and you have a good number of first-year freshmen, redshirt freshmen, some sophomores who haven't played a whole lot. You're counting on these guys, and they're playing in a new system, and you throw that on top of them and playing in the SEC, it can be tough.
Rod Bramlett joining us in the Zone on the Revolution Hotline. We see stories like this one just about every year, and unfortunately we see it multiple times a year typically, but the Michael Dyer story, certainly disappointing for everybody, certainly in the Auburn family, and I think for those of us in Arkansas too, who watched him grow up and dominate at the high school level. I guess, you know, just what your impressions are of that, and I'm sure for you too, it's got to be tough, because it certainly would have been a lot of fun calling his number this year.
Well, for Michael Dyer's got to take care of Michael Dyer, I think, first and foremost. As you said, you see it a lot. You see a young man who has all the potential in the world, great talent, and some are better equipped to handle the spotlight more than others. And he got thrust into the spotlight in that national championship game in particular. I mean, he was a huge part of why Auburn won that national championship game against Oregon, and then all of a sudden he's the guy. And then the question is, how do you handle that? Some kids are just better equipped to handle it, and Michael obviously was not, and made some bad decisions, poor choices, whatever you want to call them. And Auburn, you know, like every school will do. I mean, you want to punish them, but then still give them a chance, because they're still just kids. But you know, at least while he was here, he never really, I thought, matured enough to handle what goes along with being a number one tailback in the SEC. And certainly, hopefully, he's the great thing for Michael. He's got a great amount of time and plenty of time to figure it out, become more mature, and hopefully he does. But there's no question that he leaves a big void in the running game here, because yeah, he is and has tremendous talent, and hopefully he'll get it figured out.
Rod, he's not your leading rusher, but he's probably your most versatile guy, at least from watching Auburn play this year. Bo McCaleb, who is so explosive, and if, you know, just watching from the outside looking in, I'm thinking, man, they got to get this guy the ball more. I'm hoping they don't give him the ball at all this week, but he's a pretty special talent.
Well, the thing with McCaleb is he's a 4-year guy. This is a senior season. He has great speed. You get him out on the edge, and nobody's going to catch him. His weakness is his strength. He's not a great between the tackles runner. He's tried to become better, and he has this year, I think. But what Auburn hasn't done enough, I think, with McCaleb is throw the ball to him this year. And I wouldn't be surprised in this game if we started to see Auburn throw the ball to McCaleb, try to get him out in space where he can outrun some guys. Mm-hmm. But he's the smallest workhorse I've ever seen, if that makes any sense. And he's not your typical workhorse,
right,
because of his size, but he's turned into a great leader and somebody that Auburn, he needs to touch the ball, in my opinion, 10 to 15, maybe even 20 times
yep.
a game
mm-hmm.
To be effective. And Auburn's just, because of the way teams have defended him, they just haven't been able to get the ball to him that much.
Right. Well, he's a lot like a guy that I know you remember, speaking of pint-sized workhorses, in Fred Talley, who had a pretty decent game against Auburn.
He's still running into the north end zone here at Jordan Hare Stadium. He hasn't stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's the joke around these parts. I mean, every year when Arkansas comes around, people talk about Fred Talley.
He might be the most underrated guy in Razorback history, honestly. He really
is.
I agree. Yeah. Let me ask you about this team. I mean, because it is kind of hard to figure. Certainly they've had offensive struggles. That's been pretty consistent. It would appear, though, again, on the outside looking in, that the defense seems to be making some gains. Did you see that in the LSU game, or was it more, and, you know, there is questions certainly about LSU's offense, but do you see them improving every week on the defensive side?
I think what we saw in the LSU game is Auburn's defensive personality take a big step forward. And I think LSU helped do that with some comments after last year's game about Auburn defensively. They weren't physical. They were just rolling over. I think Auburn's defense took that to task, and I thought we saw a much more aggressive and physical Auburn defense against LSU. Now, having said that, they've still got a long ways to go as well, but I think the matchup against LSU also favored Auburn defensively because they really didn't have to worry about a quarterback that was mobile and one that they had to worry about containing. I think this defense will fare much better against teams that have that pro-style quarterback in terms of how they perform. I think Auburn right now, like the offense, the defense is having to learn new terminology, new first-year defensive coordinator that has different expectations than Ted Roof, different style. So, I mean, there's a learning curve there. Mm-hmm. And I think when they face teams that have that pro-style offense with the drop-back quarterback, I think that's a better matchup for Auburn defensively. But what was most encouraging was just how physical Auburn played defensively against LSU, and hopefully they can continue to build on that.
This is sort of an awkward question for a guy that's as close to the program as you are, but you know, we over here, and you know, we start saying, well, this guy's on a hot seat, that guy's on a hot seat, and everybody talks about Tennessee, and everybody talks about Joker Phillips at Kentucky, mm-hmm. and Gene Chizik's name comes up occasionally, and everybody says, well, it sounds so crazy because they're so, you know, they're not far removed from a national championship. Is there a buzz, or is there concern among the fan base, or do you think he's pretty solid?
Only amongst those extreme idiots. I mean, seriously, it's he is in absolutely no trouble whatsoever, and I feel confident in saying that. I'm not saying that to toe the company line. You look at what he's trying to do, and I mentioned it earlier. He's trying to kind of revamp the offensive philosophy. Defensively, he wants to be more physical. He's taking a different direction on both sides of the football. So he's starting to recruit different types of players, of which he doesn't have enough yet. Now, you look at Auburn's recruiting class this year, next year, and even down the road, and you see some guys that are going to come in here and really make a big difference. That's just baffling to me. Mm-hmm. But it has its positives, too. That shows the fan base obviously cares. They have high expectations. You've won a national championship in the last couple of years. They have high expectations, which is good.
Yeah.
But, you know, only the ones that are just 1 foot off the ledge have even suggested that. And unfortunately, it's, as you said, it can develop into a buzz, but there's no merit to it.
Rod, you're going to love my new book that I'm putting out. It's called You Don't Have to Be Smart to Be Passionate. There's a lot of people that should read that. So, look, it fits a lot of the fan bases around the country. Now,
but that's what makes it great.
I guess so. Yeah, it is. It's good to be associated with it.
That's right.
There is an interesting situation going on in Arkansas, of course. The one thing is we know for sure there's going to be a coaching change at Arkansas next season. Don't know who that's going to be and certainly what their philosophy will be. There does seem to be, among intelligent people too, a pretty good buzz that Arkansas has to do things in a little bit of a unique style because unlike Auburn or Alabama or LSU, the schools you mentioned, they don't have that huge talent base right there in their backyard. So certainly for Bobby Petrino, that was effective. I mean, again, you're on the outside looking in here. Do you think that's the case? I mean, because certainly there are some real challenges from a recruiting standpoint for Arkansas.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. And you know, I can only speak of it from an Auburn perspective. And the advantage that Auburn has, in my opinion, over in Alabama, over in LSU, is there's no state attached to their name. I mean, and they recruit Georgia, Florida, Alabama. They can reach into Mississippi. They can reach into Louisiana, Tennessee. I mean, I just think Auburn has always done a good job of not necessarily saying, all right, we got to win the state of Alabama to be successful in recruiting because we're located in Alabama. They just never have bought into that. Now, I think Arkansas can take a lot of the same can take the same approach. I mean, it's not like Arkansas doesn't have tradition and winning, but you're right. They can't be like Texas and just, you know, handpick whoever they want to out of their state. They can handpick who they want to, I would imagine, out of their state, but still, as you mentioned, it's not quite, you know, enough to, you know, put together a highly successful, consistent program year after year. Much like Auburn can't just say, we're going to handpick Alabama. Well, Auburn can't handpick Alabama because you've got the folks across the way that provide, obviously, stiff competition in recruiting guys. So it is a unique situation. Now, who will Arkansas get? Who knows? You know, I've been asked that more this week, and I'm like, why are people asking me that? I don't know.
Well, your guess is as good as ours. Yeah, we don't either, though. That's the thing.
But, you know, it's a great program, and it's, you know, there's no reason that Arkansas can't be at the top of the SEC competing year in and year out. And absolutely no reason at all. They may just have to do it a little differently.
So you think we can get Nick Saban then?
Oh, gosh. I'd rather, if anybody's going to get Nick Saban, I'd rather him be out of the SEC.
I guarantee you. At least out of the West, right? Rob, we appreciate you so much. Thanks for coming on. It's always a good time.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
Take care.